Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Chaf. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 8 lines from the top, or, if you prefer, the first wide line of Daf Chof. We continue with the topic of colors of blood that would constitute blood that is metame, that makes the woman into a nida. The Mishnah had listed off 5 different colors, and one of them was shochor, which is understood as black. So the Mishnah had said shochor kecheres. Omar rabo bar ravuna cheres shamru. The word cheres in the Mishnah equals dio, is a reference to ink. Tanya nami hochi shochor kecheres. The shochor shamru dio. The Gemara asks, Velemo Dio, why not just say Dio? Why does the Mishnah say Shochor like Cheres? E Omar Dio, the Gemara answers, if the Mishnah had used the, we'll call the simpler version of simply saying Dio, Have Amina, I would have thought Ki Pakhusa did Yuta. Like the watery part of ink. Let's take a look at Rashi. On the third line from the top, ki pakhusa diuta, klishus hadio, the weakness, if you will, the non-intense color of the ink. Kishakli mole, when the vessel that holds the ink is full. Yored shachruris hacheres lemata, the ink pigment settles to the bottom. Umilamala hu borur, the eno shochor kokach, and above it is clearer and is not as intensely black. So that's what I would have thought had the Mishnah used the word dio. The Gemara continues, Kamash Malon, ki charusa de diuta. By using the word cheres, it focuses on the dark part of the ink, the pigment part of the ink, and not the liquid or watery part of the ink. Ibayalaho belecha o biyaveshta. Are we to judge blackness with fresh ink or ink that is lach, is damp, o biyaveshta, or dried ink? Toshma de Rebbe Ami poli kurta de diuta ubodik ba. Rabbi Ami split open, poli is to split open a piece, kurta is a piece of dried ink. He would split it open and compare that to the blood sample that was brought to him, in the case that blood that was black in color was brought to him. So knowing that if it's black like ink, it would be tome. So what do we see from this incident? That he split open a dry piece of ink. So that the question was, do we check with damp or with dry ink? The answer is dry ink is the standard. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel. Kakir kedio uche onav. Kir is black wax. Dio is ink. And onav is a black grape. Any blackness of blood that matches one of these examples, tumea. Vizuhi shishoninu, and it's with these in mind that the Mishnah taught, amoik mikain tumea, that darker than that, the Mishnah had mentioned black, shochor kicheres, so black, and any darker than that would be tumea. Omar Rebelozer, Kezias, Kezefes Ukaorev, a blackness that's characteristic of a black olive or tar or a raven, that would be Tohor. Vizuhi Shishoninu, this would be an illustration. These would be illustrations of Diha Mikain, tohor. If the shade of darkness is any lighter than the shochor mentioned in the Mishnah, it would be blood that is not tomei. It would be tohor. In translating, by the way, kir, we said kikir, we translated as black wax. Rashi has a second shot as well on that, and said kir is the name of a grass that is black in color. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form, which attracts our attention to the mivneh, the structural note that you find on the margin. The trapezoid or volcano shape is explained under the Mivneh heading, Ti'urim Shel Ula V'Rabbi Yochanan L'Shochar D'Masnisin, descriptions given by Ula and Rabbi Yochanan of black mentioned in the Mishnah, Al Yidei Hashvo L'Sugei Begodim Shchorim, by comparing it to types of black colored clothing. So the Gemara, Ula Omar, referring to the shochor of the Mishnah, which is tamei, Ula says kilavusha sivaa, like the clothing of sivaa. Sivaa, Rashi says, is the name of a place, and they were known for having black clothing. Ula ikla lepubadisa. Ula visited, went to Pubadisa. Chazilu taya. He noticed a taya. Taya often is translated as an Arab. De lavush. Levusha Uchma. He was wearing a black garment. Omar Lahu, he mentioned to those around him, Shochar Disnan, the Shochar that's mentioned in the Mishnah, Kihai, is like that clothing. It's like the clothing that that Arab is wearing. Martu Mine, Porta Porta, they stripped him of his clothing piece by piece. They disrobed him or ripped off of the clothing. Apparently they wanted to have a sample of blackness for the Nida blood checking purposes, and here they now had a refined example of what would constitute black that's Tomei. And in compensation to the fellow who just lost his clothing, Yavu Be Arba Meazuzi, they paid him 400 zuz. It might be that the 400 zuz, as one may surmise from other Gemaras that have similar incidents, that this was a large amount of money, so one should not feel that the Arab lost out in any way, but was well compensated. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Elu Kalim Hulairin Haboim Mimedinas Hayom. Rabbi Yochanan says that black of the Mishnah are the like the material of Ulairim. The term Ulairim is associated with bath attendants. So Kalim Hulairim would be clothing or articles of material associated with bath attendants, those who would, Rashi says, they are balonim mechamimei merchatzos. They were the people that would heat up the bathhouses. Another pshat Rashi gives is Ulairin is a name of a place. So the Gemara asks a question. Now the question here lasts a few lines. You'll notice we have a long question marking the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. Indicates all of these lines form the question. Lameimra de uchmi ninhu? Is this to say that kelim hu'olairim are black? V'omar lehu rabbiyanei levonov. Rabbiyanei once told his sons, bonai. He instructs his sons, "Al tik buruni, when I am buried, don't bury me lo bekelim shchorim v'lo bekelim levonim, not in black clothing nor in white clothing. And why not? Shchorim shemo ezke ve'ye ke'ovel bein hachasanim. Don't bury me in black clothing because I might be zoch, I might merit the Gan Eden, I might merit heaven, and I will then be like a." There is a certain premise here that the tzaddikim, the righteous, used to wear white. They would wear in the world to come in Gan Eden, wear white garments. So I don't want to be buried in black because maybe I will merit to be amongst the righteous in Gan Eden, and they are wearing white. So I don't want to be like an ovel, like a mourner amongst grooms that are rejoicing. livonim, don't bury me in white clothing, shema lo ezkeh, I might not merit being amongst the tzaddikim, ve'ya kichoson bein ha'avilim, and then if I am buried in white, I will end up looking like a groom amongst people that are mourning because of their negative state in that world. Elo, rather, bekelim hu lairin haboim midasem. Cloak me in shrouds made of clothing the color of the ulairim, which obviously from this discussion almo lav uchmi minu. You see from here that the kelim hu lairim, which is the focus of our attention, are not black. He doesn't want to be buried in black. So and he does want to be buried in kelim hu lairim, indicating that kelim lairim are not black. Lo kashya. Really, there is no contradiction. There's no kasha. Kelim ularim is ha beglima. The glima would be the cloak, something that a person would wrap himself up in. That is, in fact, red. Ha bepsoira, those are the clothing or the fabric used for covering tables. The ularim tables, they were black. So kelim ularim breaks down into two categories: things that the ularim wore and things that the ularim used. The ones they wore were red, and the ones they used for their tables were black. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the margin under our no say heading: tseva shel eid habdika. The Gemara here will deal with the color of the woman's checking cloth. This is the material that she uses to check to see whether or not she is experiencing a female blood flow. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, v'kulam, all bloods, all issue of blood checking, ein boikin elo agabi matlis levona. She is not to check other than with using a white cloth. The white will enable the redness to show up on it very well. Omar Rav Yitzchok bar Avudimi, v'shochor al gabi odom. Black blood can be established on a red piece of cloth. Rashi here says, "V'shochor dam shochor nivdika mar iso im shochor hi kecheres o dihomikain, or deeper than that al gabi beged odom, on using a red cloth." So that if she happened to use a red cloth and there's a black release, so it can be determined, its blackness level can be determined by, even though it's on a red background. Just to correct an error we just made, in the Rashi that we read, we noted if it was the red would be sufficient for checking black, if it matches the black level to establish whether it has the black level of cheres or dihomikain, or is lighter than that. We had mistranslated that before. Let us continue in the Gemara. We now saw Shmuel and Rav Yitzchok bar Avudimi, that in our Gemara, in our Mark Gemaras, so we've marked them as Aleph and Beis. The question that confronts the Gemara as we continue, and it's marked with a double underline with dots in it, and under our Mivneh heading, we will see a Machloikis Reb Yirmiyahu Midifti and Rav Ashi, and they're noted in our markings with, as we said, this double underline with dots in it, and they are opinions 1 and 2. E Shmuel of Reb Yitzchok bar Avudimi Chokin, are the two Amoroyim that we just read, namely Shmuel and Rav Yitzchok, is there any argument between them? So we continue. Omar Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti v'lo pligi. There isn't any machlokis between Shmuel and Rav Yitzchok. Ha b'shachar, ha b'shar domim. Shmuel spoke about you must use a white checking cloth. That is true when you're dealing with other colors other than black. And Rav Yitzchok spoke about a red checking cloth, that would be good if you're checking a black flow. Maski flor avashi, I hochi, if Rav Yirmiyahu's pshat is correct, then lemo Shmuel should have said, when he said that all are checked, all blood is checked on a white cloth, he should have added chutz mishochor, that namely all blood is checked using a white cloth, except for a black blood sighting where you don't have to use a white cloth. Elo omar Ravashi b'shochor gufei komifligi. In fact, there is a machlokis according to Ravashi where Shmuel says that a black flow cannot be tested on anything other than white. And Rav Yitzchok says with regard to a black flow, if you are using a red cloth, that will be able to reveal the blackness level in question. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice new markings. So we glance at the side of the Gemara under our Nosei Mivneh heading. We have diamonds with a colored in tip. The Chulon Shitos Bameh Dinom Shel Tzvoyim Imheim Amukim. We're going to be asking what Bema Dinom Shel Tzvoyim Imheim Amukim O Dehuyim Mimash Shonui B'Mishnah. What will the din of colors be if they are any duller or more intense than that which is featured in the Mishnah? The Mishnah listed different colors, and our Gemara will want to know, what about variations on those colors? As we go on and you skim ahead in the Gemara, you'll see quite a few diamonds. You see four diamonds appearing, referring to four different Manda Omrim. In addition, we will be circling the words Omoik and Diha. Omoik meaning deeper in color, and more darker in color, and Diha being lighter in color. As we go through this Gemara, we also want to point out that we have a chart on the other margin, the inside margin, that sort of encapsulizes these different opinions. So we continue now in the Gemara. Omar Ula, Kulon, all of the bloods mentioned in the Mishnah, the different colors, that is. Omoik, Mikain, Tome, if they are darker in color than that which the Mishnah featured, they represent blood that's Tome. Diha Mikain Tor, if they're lighter in color than those colors mentioned in the Mishnah, then they are Tor. In other words, we're dealing with the blood that comes and has a lighter hue than any one of the colors mentioned in the Mishnah. So, and this idea of Omoik, deeper in color, darker in color, being Tomei, and lighter in color, being Tor, that's Kishochor. Namely, just like the Mishnah in the case of Shochor made reference to something lighter would be Tohor, so too, that same idea, something that's lighter in with regard to the other four colors mentioned in the Mishnah, would also be Tohor. The Gemara asks, "Ve'lo mai shno shochor denokat?" So, if this idea of being lighter in color is Torah, then why did the Mishnah feature that point, or why did the Mishnah feel this important to spell it out specifically by black? So the Gemara answers, "Salka deita chamina." Without the Mishnah emphasizing this idea of diha mikain tor by black, I would have thought, "Hoyu v'yomer Rabbi Chanina shochor odoim hu elo shiloka." Since Rabbi Chanina has said that black is really a distortion of red, in other words, a woman experiences a black flow, it really in essence is red, elo shiloka, but some type of malady, some type of injury or sickness or whatever, some type of biological phenomenon is causing it to turn black. Hilkoch, so I would have thought, afilu dio mikein nami litmo, that a light color black, namely lighter than cheres, lighter than the ink you mentioned in the Mishnah, would also be tome, because lighter than the ink is we could say it's getting closer to red. And as such, since it's been said that black is really a distortion of red, even a lighter form of black might be considered tameh. Kamash malon, that's why the Mishnah emphasized by black, if it's lighter in color, even though the origin of black is really red, but if it's lighter in color than the ink color mentioned in the Mishnah, it really is tohor. Rabbi Ami bar Abba Omar, kulon, all of the different colors featured in the Mishnah, omoik mikain tameh, if you find some blood flow that's darker than any of the colors mentioned in the Mishnah, it will be tameh. Diha mikain nami tameh. And if it's brighter, if it's lighter in color, it will also be tameh. Chutz mishachar, with the exception of black, where when it comes to black, if it's lighter in color than the ink mentioned in the Mishnah, it will be tohar. Elo my ahani shirei derabonan. If he is correct, if Rav Ami is correct, that not only the colors mentioned in the Mishnah are tameh, but even darker forms are also tameh. So, of what benefit or what do we gain by specifying the color quality in the Mishnah? If it's not specifically or limited to that which is in the Mishnah, but it extends to darker shades also, so what is gained by specifying that which the Mishnah specifies? The Gemara answers, La'afuke, and we should add, by the way, that if he is correct, or if Ami is correct, not only if darker is tameh, but lighter is also tameh, so then what was the point of mentioning the shiurim in the Mishnah if it's not limited to those shiurim, but it includes that which is darker and that which is lighter, so why the specification in the Mishnah? The Gemara answers, La'afuke diha de diha. What we accomplish by giving you a shear is to the exclusion of something that's very light in color. So that if there's a flow of blood that's very light in color, a very light color, whatever is mentioned in the Mishnah, that will be tohar. The Ika Diamri, a second version of Rabbi Ami. Hence, with our markings, you see we have a Roman numeral number 1 and 2 over Rabbi. You have Romi bar Abba, or you have the name in the first version is Rabbi Ami, and here you have Romi bar Abba, and you'll see also a difference in their shittas. It could very well be that Romi is really a contraction of Rabbi Ami as the first lashon, but you will still nevertheless see a difference in their ruling, in these the difference between these two versions in the ruling. So the number 2 says v'kulon, all of the shades mentioned in the Mishnah omoik mikain tohar. If it's deeper, it will actually be tohar. Diha mikain tohar, and if it's brighter, it will also be tohar. Chutz mishachar, with the exception of black, ulahachi mahani shiurei durabonon, and it is for this reason, with regard to the original question before, here you can see very clearly why the Mishnah specified its shiurim, meaning that only the colors mentioned in the Mishnah represent tumah, but if it's omok or diha, darker or lighter, it will be tohar, with the exception of black, which had more of a was not limited to just the color mentioned in the Mishnah, but includes more. But besides black, the Mishnah shiurim are the Mishnah color levels are quite exact, and they are to the exclusion of darker or lighter. Bar Kapora Omar, the kulon, all of the colors mentioned in the Mishnah, omok became tohor, tameh. Deeper than that which is mentioned in the Mishnah will be tameh. Diha mikain tohor, and if it's brighter, if it's lighter in color, it will be tohor. Chutz mimezeg, with the exception of the color mentioned in the Mishnah, the color of mezeg, which was wine mixed with water, which wine mixed with water is a color of tumah. However, she'omoik mikain tohor, diha mikain tohor. With regard to mezeg, that is an exact color, and to the exclusion of that which is darker or that which is lighter, they both will be tahor. Before going on any further in the Gemara, just to remind you, we have a little chart, and if you look at that inside margin, you'll notice all of the names down the right-hand column: Ula, Rav Ami, the two versions of Rav Ami, Bar Kappara, and there's one and two because Bar Kappara mentioned the other bloods and the other colors, and Mezeg being an exception. And the two columns on the top indicate Almok Mikain and Dihal Mikain. The last shita we learned was Bar Kappara, who mentioned that when it came to the wine color, the blood that looks like the diluted wine, so that's an exact color. Bar Kappara Adihu Lei, an incident happened with Bar Kappara that blood that was similar to the mezeg, but adihule means they diluted the blood, if you will, or they made it look lighter in color than mezeg vidochi, and he was metairet. In other words, he was sensitive to the fact that the blood brought to him was diluted, if you will. Amikule, they brought blood to him that was darker than the mezeg color mentioned in the Mishnah, the dochi, and he ruled that to be dochi. Dochi means tahor. So both of these examples of blood that was similar to mezeg but a little bit lighter or a little bit darker, he caught on and he ruled that it is tahor. Omar Rabbi Chanina, Kama Nofish Gavra, how great is the man, the Ovid Kishmaitse, that rules like his teaching. Continuing in the Gemara, the Karen Karkum. This was one of the other colors mentioned in the Mishnah. It's karkum is a type of plant. Tana lach velo yovesh. The establishing the color of the blood that's like karkum, you'd have to be comparing it to a fresh karkum plant and not a dried out one. Before going further in the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, and it reads as follows: Liyashev. The job of the Gemara is going to be to resolve Arba Brises Hametaros Tseva Dam Lefi Ole Mesuyam Bekarkom. The different Brisos will be making reference to a leaf of the Karkom plant. But at first glance, it will appear as if these four Tanaic sources are contradicting one another. And as we said, it will be the job of the Gemara to resolve them, showing us that there is no contradiction. So first we read through the four sources, and it will be apparent that the contradiction is apparent, but it will be resolved. Toni Chada, one source says ketachtoin velo keelyon, like the bottom, we'll say the bottom leaf and not the upper one. The Tanya Idoch, another source says keelyon velo ketachtoin, like the upper, not like the lower. The Tanya Idoch Ke'elyon, the color of the of blood that would be tame is like the upper leaf, the Kol Shekein Ketachton, and certainly like the lower one. The Tanya Idoch Ketachton, the Kol Shekein Ke'elyon, and the fourth source says like the bottom one, and all the more so like the upper one. So at this point, we have what seems to be a bit of a riddle in front of us. Omar Abaye, Abaye comes to the rescue. Tlosa Dori, there are three rows or three groups of leaves on this karkum plant. Utlosa tirpon havyon, and in each group there are three leaves. You have three groups of three leaves, an uppermost group, a middle group, and a lowest group. Nekot dora mitzia, the tirpa mitziosa biyadach. So Abaye says, focus on the middle group of leaves and the middle leaf of that group. And if you do that, then all of these sources will be understandable. Well, that's really only the beginning of the story. But Rashi, he fills in all of the details. So let's go through the Rashi, and you'll see how we have marked the Rashi. You'll see there are four triangles. These four triangles in the Rashi correspond to the four sources that we saw in the Gemara, and how each one will make sense. So we go to the Rashi, V'tirpa Mitzia, the middle leaf of the middle group, the Hahu Meshubach Livdoik Mikun. That's the best leaf that for checking. In other words, that has the real color of a Tomei blood. Umiyu Kule Dora Ksheru Livdoik. However, that whole middle group of leaves is acceptable. The source that said, it was source number one that said, you go like the bottom and not like the top. Hochi ko'amar, keshuro emsoyis, that you use for checking blood, the middle group, velo ke'elyona heimeno, not like the one above. So when the first source said, tachton, it's a reference, it's relative. In other words, the middle group is bottom relative to the one above it, to the top group. So the source is telling me, use the tachton, use the middle and not the upper one. And the one that said, the source that said, use upper and not lower, Keshuro emtsoyis velo ketachton heimeno, use the middle and not the one below it. So the middle one is called upper relative to the bottommost group. The ein kosher livdok, the bottommost group is not acceptable. The color of the leaves there will not match a tomei blood flow. Ella bedor emtsoyis. Rather, if you want to discover whether blood is tomei or not, you must use a leaf from the middle group. The source that says use the lower one and all the more so the upper one, the mashma de tervayuk sheir livdok, that would imply the two are okay for checking. Elo shel yoin mishubach, rather, and only that the upper one is better. Lav adori koi, we're not going here. This third source is not referring to the groups of leaves. Elo aolin de dora mitzio, it's rather focusing on the leaves of the middle group. And we said there were three leaves in the middle group. V'hochi ko'omar, and thusly we are to understand this third source. Be'ole tachtoin, use the bottom leaf, shihu borur, which is the clearest one. V'kol shekein be'elyon heimeno, the bottom leaf is clear. In other words, it's good. It will correspond to a tome color of blood, and all the more so the one above it, the hainu emsoi, which is the one above it, which is like all the better. That's the middle leaf in the middle group. Shu boru me'o, that's very clear, very clear, very accurate in using for checking for tome blood. And the fourth source that said, use the upper one and even better, the bottom one. You can use the uppermost leaf in the middle group. And all the more so, the one below it, which is the middle leaf. The middle leaf is under the uppermost leaf of that middle group. Turning back to the Gemara, ki also the kame d'Rabbi Avo, when questions of this karkum nature would come to Rabbi Avo, amalu begushayu shaninu, the use of the karkum plant in establishing blood tuma status is only if the plant is attached to dirt and not after it's been detached. The gushayu is clump of earth, so the checking of the blood that has this karkum color to it will be you can use the karkum plant as a color standard, provided the plant is growing in dirt and not detached. Another one of the colors mentioned in the Mishnah was Ukememe Adoma. Tonu Rabbona, Kememe Adoma. And here, the topic heading we have for this section of Gemara reads, Kememe Adoma, Be'eza Adoma Boikim, which earth do you use for checking? And Eich Befoyal Oisim Habdika Bofor, and how do we in practice use dirt for checking? In other words, once again, we're looking at, we have a sample of blood in front of us, and it has this dirt color to it, so we want to establish, is it tome or not? So we have to use a certain kind of dirt that would have the tome, the necessary tome color quality to it. So the source, the first source, has four Tanaic opinions. Whether or not they are actually arguing with one or another is a separate story, but there are four Rabbonim that appear here, giving us names of places whose dirt would correspond to the color mentioned in the Mishnah. Kememe Adoma, maybe Adoma, Shmeno, a rich dirt, Mibikas Beis Kerem, that's a Beis Kerem is a name of a region in Israel, Umatzif Aleho Mayim, and you would pour water over this dirt, Divrei Rabbi Meir. And it's the color quality of the watery part of this dirt water mixture that we are looking for. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mibikas Yudfas, another place. Rabbi Yossi Omer Mibikas Sichni, we bring dirt from Bikas Sichni, a place. And Rabbi Shimon Omer Af Mibikas Ginoiser V'chayotze Bohen. And he says you can bring dirt from Bikas Ginoiser and places like that. Tanya Idach. Another Tanaic source, which continues with the issue of how you do the checking using the dirt. Uchememe Adoma, what is entailed? Mevi Adoma Shmeina Mibikas Beis Kerem, you would bring rich dirt from that area called Beis Kerem. Umatzif Oleo Mayim Keklipas Hashum. And then you would pour over the dirt. Let's just say you have the dirt in a receptacle, and the next thing you would do is you would pour a very thin, a very small amount of water, forming a depth of water like the peel, like a garlic peel, something very thin. In other words, a very fine film of water would appear over the, after you pour the water in. So you would pour enough water that would form a very fine film of water over the, above the dirt. The ain shiur lamayim mishum the ain shiur laofar. We're not dictating how much water to pour in terms of liquid measures, because we are not giving you a shear of dirt either. Simply put, the more dirt there is, the more water you will need for establishing the test. The ein boikin oison tslulin, you don't check the blood opposite the water when it is clear. Elo akurin, we're interested in the water being murky or turbid, namely the water and the dirt are mixed together. Solalu, if the dirt settles, chozer velchron, you would stir it up again. Ukshu ochron, and when he stirs up the dirt with the water, ein ochron biyad elo bekli, not by hand, rather with vessel. That's supposed to be at this point a bit vague, this issue of the last phrase of the source. Hence the Gemara asks, Ibailo, Ein oichinu san biyada lebekli, this last phrase, what is meant by that? And there are two possibilities, and we've listed them with our markings as Aleph, and the next line, the squiggle on the line, at the beginning of the line, O Dilma, Beis, or maybe a second possibility. So what are the, what is vague about this phrase, leaving for us two possibilities? When it says not hand but yes vessel, does it mean the lo lirme biyode ulachrinu, that you are we're told not to put it in, let's say the cup of your hand? In other words, if you would cup your hand and put dirt in it and then stir it up in that fashion, that is what's unacceptable. Aval bemona ki ochar le biyodei shapir domi. However, if the dirt is contained in a vessel and you stir up the dirt using your hand, that would be okay. Oy dilma, or is are we being instructed the lo lachrinu biyodei ela b'mona? Even the stirring, in other words, even if the dirt is in a vessel, the stirring of the dirt in order to create the turbid water, the stirring must be done with a vessel as well, indicating like no contact with hand whatsoever. Toshma. So we have a Tanaic source. It says kishu botkon ein botkon ela b'kais. When you do the checking using the dirt to check with it the blood blood that needs a ruling. So he says you must use a cup. In other words, the dirt is held in a cup. Well, that would rule out the possibility, Aleph, in other words, that it's not to be, the dirt is not to be put in the palm of your, in the palm of your hand. How vadayin tiboy aloch, but I still have a question. Bedika bekos, granted the dirt is held in a cup, literally it's checked in a cup, but it means the dirt is held in a cup. Akira b'mai, what about the stirring? How is that to be done? Is the stirring to be done only using a spoon, let us say, or can you stir the dirt with your hand? Teku, so that remains unresolved. Ki asu l'kamei d'rabo baravua, omar luhu b'makomo shoninu. Rabbo says that the use of dirt is effective in establishing blood as being tomei. Once again, it's to check the blood that's under question in contrast with dirt, provided the dirt is in its place, in the region, and has not been transported from one section, one region of the land to another. Apparently, in transporting the dirt, it will lose the color quality needed for our checking purposes. Rabbi Chanina, poli kurta de gargashta ubodik bay. Rabbi Chanina would take a clump of dirt, split open this clod of dirt and use it for checking. In other words, he would use its color to compare it with the blood, or compare the blood to its color, without water. Layat alei Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi ba'askura. Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi cursed, layat is to curse, anyone else who would check like that, would do the same thing that Rabbi Chanina would do. And he, askura is the name of a disease, a throat disease. So Rabbi Yishmael cursed anyone who would do what Rabbi Chanina did. He should be afflicted with askura. And now an explanation. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Rabbi Chanina hu dechochim. Rabbi Chanina was an expert, and he could check like that. In other words, he could take the liberties of checking even without mixing the dirt with water. However, kulei alma lav chachimi hochi. Not everyone else is so skilled, so proficient, and hence they cannot do that. As we go on in the Gemara, you notice over the next few lines triangles that appear in different directions and a double underline that appears. Under our Nosei Mivne heading, we have noted Gishos Shonos Shel Rabbonim Lifsok Bemarois Domim. Different approaches of rabbis whether or not to judge matters of blood color. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Chochmasa de Rabbi Chanina Gormo Li Delo Echsi Doma. The brilliance of Rabbi Chanina caused me not to engage in blood checking. In other words, I would abstain from ruling on questions regarding tumah nature or tohor nature of blood. I wouldn't rule on those matters. Mitamino mitaher. Whatever I thought was tameh, whatever I declared tameh, he would declare tohor. Mitaharno, that which I declare tohor, mitame, he would declare tome. So I became insecure, if you will, full of doubts about my ability, seeing that those things that I had ruled on in the past, he ruled in the opposite way. Omar Rebbe Lozar, notice the triangle flips over, and that indicates that here you have someone with a different opinion or different approach. On the sinusa of Rabbi Chanina, the piety, literally the humility or the piety of Rabbi Chanina, gormali de chozai doma, that I will engage in checking, ruling on blood questions. Uma Rabbi Chanina de anvesan hu, mind you, this man, Rabbi Chanina, who is a very pious individual, and yet, mochis nafshi le sofek v'chazi, he would engage in issues of doubt. After all, the question of fluid releases from women, does it make her tome or not? Is it a matter of getting involved in an area of doubt, and then you have to rule on it? So it's called getting involved with doubt, and yet he did not hesitate. He would rule on it. Even though he was a very pious person, and along with piety, one would assume there comes certain different characteristics of restraint and unwillingness to take a firm and definitive stand from all a result of feelings of humility. Who am I, so to speak, to judge things? Nevertheless, he ruled on it, even though he was a very pious and humble individual. So, if he would do it, ano lo echsi, I, says Rebbe Lozar, I shouldn't check, I also will check. Amar Rebbe Zera. Now, the triangle with the point going up, and you can see the next double underline, will indicate, like we saw before, Rebbe Yochanan, someone who would not check. So Rebbe Zera says, Tiva de Bovel, gormoli de lo chazoi doma. Tiva is coinage. The Babylonian coinage caused me not to check blood. De amina. I figured, betiva lo yadana, I don't understand the Babylonian coinage system. The domo yadana, and I'm going to be able to figure out and how to rule on matters of blood questions. The Gemara asks, lemeimra de betiva talya milsa, is the ability to check blood dependent on your skills in knowledge of currency? V'ha rabo hu diyada betiva. Rabo is someone that knew the currency and coinage of Bavel, v'lo yada bedoma, and he did not rule in matters of blood. So, according to what Rabbi Zera said, it sounds like that if you have knowledge in Babylonian currency, then you would be eligible and capable of judging blood questions. So the Gemara continues. Kol Shekain Koma, Rabbi Zera's hesitancy was based on a Kol Shekain, on a logical argument, as we will see. Uma Rabo de Yodabativa. Mind you, Rabo is someone who did understand the Babylonian currency, and lo chazodama, and yet he abstained. Vano, Echsi, I who don't understand the Babylonian currency, all the more so, am not going to look at blood and rule upon it. Ula iklo lepubadisa. Aisu lekame doma. Ula visited Pobadisa, and they brought to him a question of blood. In other words, is the woman from which this blood came, is she tome or tor? Velo chozo, and he abstained from ruling. Omar, and he said, Uma Rebelozer, demora da'ara d'Israel have. Mind you, Rebelozer, who was the leading Torah scholar of Eretz Israel of his time, Ki Mikla L'Aster de Behuda, when he would come to Rabbi Huda's community, when he visited Rabbi Huda's community, Lo Chazidama, he would not rule on blood matters out of respect to Rabbi Huda, that even though we saw Rabbi Lozer above is someone that did check questions of blood, but if you're visiting someone else's community, you would not do it out of respect to the rabbi of that town. He is the one to issue rulings, not some visiting rabbinic figure. Ano Echsi. So I, Ula says, I who am a lesser figure than Reb Elazar, and I'm visiting Pobedisa, which happened to be Reb Yehuda's town, I would check? Of course not. V'amai korule morav d'ara d'Israel. Why was Reb Elazar called the literally the master of the land of Israel? So the Gemara tells us, relates an incident that from which he gained such fame and prestige that he seemed to get this great title. Before we go on, though, we have a marking on the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading. We have a house shape featured. Shnei Maisim Sherabonim Sheposku Al Domim Al Pi Chush HaReach. We have two stories involving rabbis that ruled on blood based on their sense of smell. The Gemara, De'ahi Yitzah, the Aisa Doma Lekamed Reb Elazar. An incident happened where a woman brought blood to Reb Elazar for a ruling. Have Yosef Rabbi Ami Kamei. Rabbi Ami was sitting in his presence. Arche, Reb Elazar smelled the blood. Omar Law, he told the woman, Hai Dam Chimud Hu. This is blood that was released from your body as a result of desire to be with your husband. In other words, he described the circumstances behind the release of this blood. Boser denafko itpa lo Rebbe Ami. After she left the Rebbe Elazar, so Rebbe Ami met up with her, and he accompanied her. Omar Omro Lei. She told Rabbi Ami, Bali Hoya Baderech. In fact, my husband was out of town, the Chamanitiv, and I had a great desire for him. And that emotional state caused a blood release. And Rabbi Elazar, who knew nothing of that, he, by studying the blood, or in this case, by smelling the blood, he picked up on that phenomenon. Kori Ole. So it was referred to Reb Elazar the following: Soyid Hashem Lireyov. The secret of the secrets of the Almighty are known to those that fear Him. So that things that are very difficult to know, unless you have some kind of like inside tip from the Almighty, He happened to know, indicating, showing us that he was a very great individual, man of a high level of piety. Ifra Hormiz, Ime Deshover Malka. Ifra Hormiz is the name of the queen mother of the mother of Shavur Malka. He was a Persian monarch. So you have the mother of the Persian monarch, Shodra Doma Lekame Derova. She sent a blood sample to Rava. Have Yosef Rav Ovadia Kame, and Rav Ovadia was sitting in Rava's presence. Arche, Rava smelled the blood. Omar Law, he told her, Hai Dam Chimudhu. This is blood coming from that was released because of you had a feeling of desire, just like we saw in the previous story. Omrale Libra, she said to her son, the king, Shavur Malka, come and see how brilliant the Jews are. Like, how could anyone possibly know that I had feelings of desire for intimacy for my husband? And that's how this came to be, which in fact was what happened. So this impressed the mother of the king. Omar Law. So he, the king, said, Dilmo Kesumer Baruba. Maybe it was a lucky guess. The literal translation is like a blind man discovering the opening of a room. In other words, a blind man feeling along the wall can eventually can find where the door is by just hitting on the right spot. So he was lucky. Hadar Shodrale. Well, she took her son's challenge, and she went and sent him Shisin Mine Doma, 60 different blood samples, Vikulu Amrinu. And Rava was able to explain and tell her what each blood was. Hahu Basra, the last sample, Dam Kinim Havet Velo Yoda, was blood released from a kino. Kino is often translated as a lice. It's blood from a bug, we'll say. And Rava didn't know. He couldn't identify that blood. He couldn't say, this is Kinim blood. However, Istaya Milsa Vishadar La Srikusa de Mikdale Kalmi. He sent her a gift. And what was the gift that Rava sent to Ifra Hormiz? He sent her a lice comb. That's a srikusa is a masrek. A masrek is a comb. The mikdala kalmi, literally, that's used for killing lice or killing these bugs. So that she received this, and he sent it just as a token of honor to her. But she took it as a sign that he knew what that last blood was, that it was Kinim blood. Omra, she said, Yehudoi betavni deliba yasvisu. She says, you Jews are sitting in the chambers of one's heart. In other words, there are no secrets that the Jews cannot reveal. Omar Rav Yehuda, Meresha, Avechazino Domo. At first, I used to rule on blood matters. Kevon de Omra li ime di Yitzchak bri. But once my son's mother, seems to be a way of referring to his wife, but since she told me, once again, ime, the mother of Yitzchak bri, the mother of my son Yitzchak, she told me the following. Hai tipsa kamaisa, the first drop of blood, after a woman goes a number of days or possibly weeks without any blood, we're dealing with the female blood cycle, so she goes a number of days without a release. When the first drop comes, we don't bring that. It was the tipsa kamaisa, the first drop, lo maisinon lo kamayu durabon, and women don't bring that first drop, mishum deziyama. It's odoriferous, it's smelly. It's embarrassing to bring something like that to a rabbi. So the problem is that what do the women then bring? They bring a subsequent sample of blood after that first drop. The problem is that it could be that though the subsequent blood that the rabbi sees might not have the color of tumah, but that first drop did have the color of tumah. So there's a possibility that women were actually tumah, but that tumah blood was never shown to the rabbis because of this smell. And the blood that they are bringing now doesn't have that same color level that indicates tumah. So Rabbi Yehuda, fearing that maybe the women were really tamei, lo chazino, he says, I'm not looking at blood anymore. However, bein tamei l'tohor vade chazino. This piece of Gemara is very terse, but it's a reference to a woman after childbirth. So there's an initial week in case of male births or female births, 2 weeks, that they are Timaeus, but after that, there is a period of 33 days of after a male birth, or 66 days after female births, and we're dealing, once again, as we've mentioned before, on a Doraisa level, purely Doraisa, we're not talking about practical law right now. So, for that period of time, there was any blood that she would see would be Tohar. Those are called Yemei Tohar. At the end of that period, if blood continued, there would be need to check, is this tamei blood or not? That's what the Gemara is referring to. So let's say from day 40 to day 41, after blood that comes on day 40, the woman still would have been tahor, but if it came on day 41, that if it has the necessary color, and that's what we want to know about right now, that could make her tamei. So Rav Yehuda says that type of situation between the end of the Yemei Tohar period and the beginning of the Yemei Tumah period, if women would bring that kind of blood, I would check. And the reason for that is because there was during that period of time, any blood that was coming out would have been Tohar anyway, and the blood in question, meaning at the beginning of the post-Ladah period, Rashi points out, since she was muchzekis by seeing blood, there was, this is a period of time when women bleed, and as a result of that, the blood that she would be bringing in for checking now wouldn't have a bad smell. It's my assumption from the context of this Gemara with the Rashi that the bad smell resulted from the fact that there was no blood flow for a period of time, and then the all of a sudden it started to flow. That first drop had a bad smell to it. But in this case, since we're dealing with women that are after the that are during a childbirth period of time, there was a constant flow of blood, and hence there was no bad smell. The women would not hesitate to bring the first drop of blood on of day 41 or day 81 in the case of a female birth. The Gemara continues with an incident, but before we go into the Gemara, we glance at the outside margin under the Nosei heading, Maisa im Yalta. We'll see an incident involving Yalta, who was the wife of Rav Nachman. Shevia Mara l'shnei Rabbonim. She brought a blood sample to two Rabbonim. That in and of itself involves a bit of a problem which the Gemara will raise, that how can you, after receiving a psak from after you receive a legal ruling from one Rav, how can you go to another Rav with the same issue? So let's see this in the Gemara. Yalta Isa Doma Lekame de Rabo Bar Chana. Yalta brought some blood for checking to Rabo, the Tomi law, and he ruled it to be Tomei, meaning that she is now a Nida. Hodar Isa Lekame de Rav Yitzchak Brei de Rav Yuda. She then brought it to Rav Yitzchak, the Dochile, and he ruled it to be Tohar. The Gemara asks, Vehechi Ovid Hachi, how could he rule after Rabbah already ruled? V'hotanya. We have the following teaching. Chocham Shetime, a sage who ruled something to be Tame, Ein Chaveh Rashoi L'Tahir, his colleague cannot rule it to be Tohor. Osar, if a sage ruled something to be forbidden, Ein Chaveh Rashoi L'Hatir, his colleague cannot rule it to be permissible. The Gemara answers, Meikora Temuye Hava Metamela. Rabbi Yitzchak did initially rule it to be Tomei out of respect to Rabba. So Rabbi Yitzchak didn't do anything wrong, so to speak. He simply seconded Rabba's motion. However, Kevon di Omra Le Yalta told Rabbi Yitzchak, the Chol Yoima have Matki Li Ki Hai Gavna. Every time that I would bring this kind of color blood to Rabba Bar Bachana, he would rule it to be Tor. Matkili means he would rule it to be Tor. Today, he ruled it to be Tome. Well, Vahitna Huda Choshbeine. He happened to have an eye ache. So, and that affected his vision. Upon hearing that, Dochi lost. Rav Yitzchak said, oh, this dam is really Tohar. The Gemara asks, Umi Mehemni, is she to be believed? She's telling us a story that she would bring this kind of blood on many other occasions to Rabba. The Gemara says, in Vahatanya, yes, we do believe her. We have a Tanaic source that indicates thusly. Ne'menes isha lomar, a woman is believed to say, kozeh ro'isi ve'abaditiv. Like what you see now, I have seen, but I lost it. Let's take a look at Rashi, who explains this a little bit more. A few lines up from here, Rashi says, kozeh ro'isi mevia dam acher. A woman brings some other blood, o shela, o shel chaverta, either her own or her friend's, vi omeres. And she says, kozeh, like this sample that I'm bringing to you now, kozeh ro'isi, the ibadativ, I had a blood flow like this. And she's bringing possibly her friend's blood and saying, what you see here, I had something like this coming from me, the ibadativ, but I lost it. So, im dam zeh tohor, if the dam that she brings as a sample right now is found to be tohor, lo misafkinon le betuma mishum dam ha'avud. We are not going to think that maybe she is tame because of the blood that is lost. Demehemno lemeimar, she is believed to say, kozeh ro'isi, what you see here now, this is what I saw from coming from my body. so that if what I'm bringing to you now, you are ruling to be tahor, I am then tahor, and we rely on her. So that as far as Yalta's story is concerned, to when she what that which she told to Reb Yitzchok, and if you'll ask, can we rely on her story telling us that she had shown this kind of blood in the past to Rabbo and he ruled it to be tahor? It seems that we can rely on her. However, this issue is now going to come under discussion. Ibaya Laho. The Gemara asks, Kozeh tier ish ploni chocham mahu. A woman who says, we're not going to reveal immediately to whom she says this, but a woman who says something like this, such and such sage or rabbi ruled to be tohar on for me on another occasion. Mahu. So the question is, a woman who says something like that, if let's just glance at our topic heading in the outside margin, Mahu lismo chal isha, can we rely on a woman who omeres lechavret, who tells her friend, hey, what you're showing me now, I want you to know, kozeh tiher li ish ploni chocham, I got a psak, I got a ruling on something just like this to be tohar. So, with the woman's story, can her friend rely on that? And if she relies on it, that's it. She too will be tahor. The diamonds that you see here are explained under our Mivneh heading. These are nisyonos lifshoit sheila. Now, these are attempts to resolve this particular question. Toshma. So we have a source that says, Nemenesi shalomar, a woman is believed to say, kozeh roisi v'ibaditiv. I saw something just like this, but it's lost. So it seems from here that a woman is believed. The Gemara says, "Shiny hosam." That case is different. The lesse lekamo, the blood that is in question, so to speak, is lost. So we don't have the blood in question in front of us. So we have no choice. However, in our question, you have a woman who has a shaila of actual blood concerning herself, and the question is, can she rely on what this other woman tells her? So you have to note the difference between the two cases. The Toshman, this diamond case, the blood that makes the difference, so to speak, the blood that would be under question is simply lost, and the woman is relying on some other blood to help resolve the issue of the blood that she experienced, but it's lost. Our question, on the other hand, is dealing with a woman who has her blood in front of us, and the question is, can she rely on the information that this other lady is giving to her? So this source cannot help, this first diamond source. Toshma, so we try this next attempt, and this is a long marking. You can see the Toshma, and in fact, it's now basically a repeat of the Gemara we just saw before with Yalta. Toshma, the Yalta Aisa Domo Lekame de Rabo Bar Bar Chano. Yalta brought blood in question, the actual blood. Here this is very similar to the question we were dealing with. She brought actual blood to Rabo Bar Bar Chano, the Tomei Lo, and he ruled it to be Tomei. Hodor Aisa Lekame de Rabi Yitzchok Brei de Rabi Yehuda V'Dochi Lo. And then she brought to Rabi Yitzchok and he declared it to be Tohor. And we ask, this is all review. The Hechi Ovid Hochi, how could Rabi Yitzchok rule this thusly? V'atanya Chocham Shetim Ein Chaver Rashoi L'Tahir V'Chulei. Once a Chocham rules like Rabo ruled it to be Tomei, how can he, Rabi Yitzchok, rule it to be Tohor? V'Amrinon, and we explain to Mi'ahav Mitama Lo. Really, Rabi Yitzchok initially was Mitamid out of respect to Rabo, Kevin the Omro lay the Choyomim Matki Lo Ki Aygavno Veidnu the Choshbi Ene. But once Yalta said that every day he Rabo used to metayer this, he would rule it to be tor, and just today he has an eye ache. Well, when Rabbi Yitzchok heard that, Hodar Dochi Lo, he then ruled it to be tor. So what was Rabbi Yitzchok doing over here? He was ostensibly relying on Yalta telling us that this blood in question had received a ruling in the past of Tohor. Alma Mehem no mo. So we see that Rabbi Yitzchok trusted her. He trusted Yalta's information. The Gemara rejects this. Rabbi Yitzchok bar Yehuda agamrei somech. Rabbi Yitzchok was relying on his own tradition. In other words, he looked at the blood and came to the conclusion on his own that it's tohor, and it was he wasn't relying on Yalta's story. Rebbe ro'odam b'layla v'timei. Rebbe looked at blood. He inspected some blood sample at night using some candlelight, and he ruled it to be tomei. Ro b'yom v'tir. The next day, he looked at the same blood in daylight during the day and ruled it to be tohor. Himtin shol achas chazer v'timei. He waited an hour. A little time went by, and he changed his mind and ruled it to be tomei. And then Omar, he then said, "Oili shemo toisi." Maybe I made a mistake by my change of mind to rule it to be tomei. The Gemara asks, "Shemo toisi vagato?" What do you mean? Maybe he made a mistake. He definitely made a mistake by changing his mind back to saying that it's tomei. Desanya. We have the following source: Lo yomar chacham, a chacham, a sage should not say. Ilu hoyolach hoyavarai tomei. Shouldn't make like calculations and assumptions regarding a sample of blood and say, right now it looks tohor, but if it were fresh, if it were still damp, it would definitely be tomei. Elo Omar, ein lo ledayan elamash ein avros. A judge comes to conclusions based on what you see, and not based on any extrapolations. And right now, it has a tohor color to it, so you can rule that it is tohor. So the Gemara, we have to understand then what was going on here with Rebbe. The Gemara explains me'ikora achseke betomei. Originally, he saw it at night, and he figured that it was tamei. He ruled that it was tamei. Kevin the chazal etzafa the ishtani in the morning where he saw it underwent change. Omar vadai tohor have. This is definitely tohor. Ubalai lehu delo ischazi shapir. And simply at night, I didn't see it very well. Kevin the chazal the hoder ishtani when he saw it go back to a tamei color. Omar hai tomei hu. This blood really is tomei. O mifkach hu de kom mifkach vi ozio. Rashi explains, mifkach, marav memuso veris, its redness is departing. Hilkach hodar lemilse kamaisa vitime. Therefore, he realized that it was becoming duller and duller, and therefore he went back to his original psak, because it really was a tomei color. The hal d'amrinon, and that which we said, ein lo l'dayin al mash ein avrolos, that you can judge only based on what you actually see, that's hecho d'lo echse kishulach, that's where you didn't see it when it was damp. And it had not appeared to be tummy, but in Rebbe's case, he initially did see it when it was fresh, and it did appear to him as tummy, so that his return to that psak is not something that is an error. Rebbe bodik liarne. Rebbe would check using candlelight. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosef, Bodik, B'yoyim Hamunon, Beini Amudi. Rabbi Shmuel would check blood on a cloudy day between the pillars of the place, the room in which he used to learn. In other words, even though it wasn't a very bright, there wasn't a lot of light there, that was the light level that he used for checking. Omer of Ami Bar Shmuel, V'kulon ein boikinoso elo bein chamal etzel. All of the different checkings that we're talking about, the different colors of blood, they are not to be checked other than an area between the sun and the shade. That's bein chamal etzel, not in the direct sun and not in total shade. Rav Nachman Omar Rabo Ravua b'chamo uvetzel yodo. You can stand in the sun, but create shade over the blood using your hand, and that would be sufficient for. Sufficient for checking. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.